estás? If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And while you're turning, let me just kind of give you a little bit of background. You know, when we, if you're looking in your Bible and you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you know, for most of your Bibles, that's probably just a turn of the page, right? What we forget about a lot of times is there was about 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Between the time Malachi got through with his prophecies until Matthew began to write, there's about 400 years that elapsed. All through the Old Testament, this coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, has been prophesied. He's coming, but just like Jeanette said, I think people started wondering, well, how long? When is he coming? And so for 400 years, they had been looking for this Messiah. They had been awaiting this Messiah to show up and to come on the scene. And then that one night in Bethlehem, here he is. Here he is. All this waiting, all this time of anticipation, this advent, this expectation, all of a sudden it came to fruition when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And we're going to look at two people. Now, granted, they hadn't waited for 400 years, but they had spent a good portion of their life waiting for this Messiah. So in Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 22. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, likewise gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning as we examine this scripture, Father, as we look at these two people, Lord, that had waited for you, waited for the Messiah, and Lord, they were able to lay their eyes on this Christ child, and Father, it made their life complete. Father, I pray that this morning you would, through me, Lord, give us the words that we all need to hear. And Father, I pray if there are any here this morning that don't know you as their Savior, Father, that have never made that commitment to you, Lord, that this would be the day they would come to this altar, give their heart and their life to you before it's too late. Father, this time is yours. We give it to you now. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, We ask all these things. Amen. Do you remember what it was like waiting for Christmas when you were little? You remember what it was like? I mean, I see some heads nodding, but do you really? Do you remember how much you drove your mom and dad up a wall? You know, just waiting, you know, for that day. Do you remember writing letters to Santa Claus, making sure you listed everything that you wanted? I want to share a couple of letters that I found to Santa. Because, you know, it's hard for our young people. It's hard for kids, and it's a lot probably for us. It's hard for us to wait for Christmas. Here's a couple of letters. Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there'll be cookies for you. But if you're real hungry, you can use our phone and order a pizza to go. Dear Santa Claus, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. P.S. Sometimes I'm wild. This is actually from a four-year-old. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I really haven't been that good. I love it. And this has got to be one of my favorite. Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. The Etch-A-Sketch Animator, 2 packs of number 2 pencils, Crayola Fat Markers, and the big gift, my own color TV. On second thought, maybe you could drop the pencils. I really don't want to be selfish. Christmas is associated with waiting a lot of times, right? And you know, I don't know how you feel. I can remember as a child, I couldn't wait, you know, for Christmas because it meant a lot of things. I mean, it meant seeing my cousins. I grew up an only child, so I got a chance to go and see my cousins on both sides of the family, and we got into all kinds of trouble, you know, usually around Christmas and being mischievous. I got a chance to eat a lot of good food Mom was a great cook, but I got a chance to eat from all my aunts and uncles on both sides, and it was just something special. And we got a chance to get presents, but we were out of school for a while, and so it was a time of the year that I looked forward to, and I bet you did too. But let's be honest. When you finished up the Thanksgiving turkey and you realize that you're staring the Christmas season right in the face, didn't a part of you think, oh Lord, it's Christmas? Again, that's right. You got to fight the traffic. You got to fight the mall crowds. You got the calendar is just about chock-a-block full. If your calendar's like mine, if you laid those 31 days out there, there's not too many days over this month where something's not going on. I mean, our church calendar is quite full here. And if we're not careful, we lose that expectation that Christmas should bring, and we get ourselves stressed out into a lot of the negatives that surround this season. What we've got to remember, folks, is that right down at its very most important level, this season is when we celebrate God coming to earth to live with us, loving us enough that the plan of salvation started when he sent that baby into that manger in Bethlehem. So I want to ask you, what are you looking for? What are you waiting for this Christmas? Are you longing for anything? Or what are you expecting to receive? Are you looking for anything special this season? And I'm not really even talking about material-wise. Are you expecting something this season maybe to be different in your life than what it ever has been before? You know, this could be the best Christmas that you have ever had and not receive one gift. If we make sure our hearts and our minds are centered on this Christ child. In this gospel, we come across 2 characters. We didn't see these characters in our hanging of the greens last week. Christmas plays that we'll have and that you'll see around this time of year, most of the time don't ever mention Simeon or Anna. But here were two people that, although they're mentioned just briefly in the Bible, both of these people were waiting. They had expectation. They were waiting for somebody. Luke says that they were waiting with the expectation of this coming Messiah, this Savior. The way it reads in the scripture that we went through this morning, it literally means that they were ready to see Him. They were watching. They had set themselves to be alert. So when He did show up on the scene, they could recognize Him. They could see Him. And I want to let's look at both of these people. Simeon was waiting for comfort. We see him in verse 25. It says that he was just and devout, and he waited for the consolation of Israel. Things hadn't been going too good for Israel. They had not heard from God for many years. Again, he had been silent for almost 400 years, and they were living under Roman rule. They had lost their independence politically. They were living in fear. King Herod was in power at this time. And as you know, Herod was crazy. You know, even to the point that when he sent out and tried to find the baby Jesus and have him killed, to do that, he commanded that all living male babies be slaughtered. History even tells us that Herod was a man that was hated so badly that Herod had instructions that upon his death, several notable figures in that area be assassinated, so at least there would be mourning in the land, because he knew he was so bad that nobody would mourn his death. Herod was a mean man. Herod was a bad, bad guy. And this is what Israel was living under right now. And Simeon was waiting for this Messiah to come in and be able to console Israel, to be able to give them hope that it wasn't always going to be this way, that there were better days that were ahead. And Simeon's got good reason for that. In verse 26, if you look at that, it said, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ." Can you imagine Simeon, every day that the Lord let him stay on this earth, Simeon knew that you know, this could be the day that I see the Lord Jesus. Can you get your arms around that? Every day that he lived, he knew, the Holy Spirit's told me that before I leave this world, I'm going to see this Messiah, this Jesus that's been promised. You know, I really believe, even today, I really believe that God gives people insight like that. I don't know if you agree with me, but that's just my personal opinion. We had a pastor here when I was growing up at Powhatan, Reverend Eddie Edwards. Loved Brother Eddie. And Ginger and I got married in 1988. And I'll bet if you go back and look at the records, you'll find that Preacher Eddie Edwards preached the homecoming message right here at this church in 1988. And our family sang. Linda and Deanna and Ginger sang. And, you know, when he left Powhatan, he went right down the road to Johnston Union to pastor. And I got a call from the pastor at Johnston Union. He said, "Brother Eddie Edwards is running our homecoming." Said, "And I understand he'd love to hear your family sing. Can you slip away from church and come and sing for us in service that day?" So I got somebody to play the piano, and we went down there, and Brother Eddie didn't know we were coming. And he walked out, and he sat down in the pulpit, and he looked out, and my eyes caught his, and he started smiling. And we sang, and we just had a wonderful time, and we ate lunch together. And he told me this. "I think our homecoming is the third Sunday in September. I think Johnston Union's is in October." We were eating lunch, and Brother Eddie Edwards told me this. He goes, "Son," He goes, something strange is happening this year. He said, I've got one more homecoming message to preach. And when that happens, I will have gone back this year to every church I ever pastored to preach the homecoming message. He said, not a revival, not a special service, the homecoming message. He said, they even asked me to preach my own homecoming at Rockingham, which is where he was at. He looked at me, he said, I can't help but believe it's God's way of letting me make one last time around to everybody to tell them goodbye. I said, Preacher Eddie, you're going to be around to preach my funeral. And that afternoon we walked out and he headed to his car. And I still remember, he looked around at me. He said, well, son, I'll see you later or I'll see you in heaven. And he got in his car and he left. And do you know, before Christmas of that year, Brother Eddie passed away. And I called Miss Ruth and I told her that. And you know, I wonder if God gave this man just that insight. I don't know. One day we will know. But I do know this. Scripture says that Simeon was given insight that he would not see death until he had seen this Messiah. Simeon knew that this Comforter was going to be coming. And he also knew that it probably wasn't far away. Can you imagine how excited Simeon got every day knowing, could this be the day that I see the Messiah? Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus may not come back before you and I close our eyes in death, but my Bible tells me that one day every eye will see him and know him for who he is. Every mouth will confess him as Lord. Every knee will bow. And folks, let me tell you something. If that doesn't get us excited, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Folks, we need to make sure we make our calling and election sure today. Today. Not when it's too late. Not when it's too late. This man knew that this could be the day that I see Jesus. Folks, today, are we looking as forward to his return today? Because you know what? This is a fact. It could be today he comes back. We could celebrate Christmas in heaven. For that matter, we may pick up our Proverbs study in heaven with the one that wrote the book. I'll sit down and let him share it. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. The Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple courts that morning, and Jesus, who was about 6 weeks old at this time, comes in being brought by Mary and Joseph. When Simeon saw him, he knew. God's plan, God with us, that's him incarnate. He's here. And Simeon said, you know, now I can leave this world in peace because God's been faithful to me. God's been faithful to me and he's done exactly what he said. He said, I wouldn't see death till I'd seen this Messiah. I've seen this Messiah. I can go in peace now because I know he's here. I know he's here. Simeon did something kind of strange, and I promise I'll rush along. But Simeon reached down and he took Jesus in his arms. And can you imagine Mary and Joseph so excited over this new baby? Simeon looks at them, though, and says, this child is set for the rising and the falling of Israel. You see, Jesus, forces me and you to make a choice. C.S. Lewis said one time, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. Make a choice. Make a choice. It forces us to choose. There are people in this world who read this scripture and say, you know what, I don't believe a word of it. That's dangerous ground, folks. There are others that read this scripture and say, you know what, I may not understand every word of it, but by faith I believe he said what he meant and meant what he said. And I believe he's coming back. And people divide themselves into those two camps. And I think that's what Simeon was even telling Mary, is that even a sword shall pierce your soul. I wonder, when Mary was there at the foot of the cross and Jesus was being crucified, I wonder if Mary remembered Simeon's words from 33 and a half years before. I wonder if she did. But the good news is, folks, this Messiah, although crucified, rose again, ascended back to God the Father, and He's coming again. And He's coming again. Simeon was waiting for something. He was waiting for the consolation, that comforter, that Messiah to come to Israel. And he was able to see it. Anna, the other one that we spoke about, Anna was waiting for forgiveness. Anna was, her husband had died, and Anna had devoted herself to staying and praying in the temple. As a matter of fact, the Bible said she never left the temple. She stayed there. She worshiped day and night. She worshiped day and night. She was looking forward to the same person that Simeon was, but she was looking forward to it for a different reason. Look at verse 38. It said, and she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all of them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Look for redemption in Jerusalem. The redemption is related to the word captivity. Israel had spent many, many years in captivity. And most of the time, well, let me rephrase that. Every time they found themselves in captivity, it was because they disobeyed God. God was on their side. God was leading them. God was protecting them. But the very minute they turned their back on God and they said, Lord, we don't need you. Just go on about your business. God took his hand of protection off them, and nations came in and they took Israel over. And Anna was waiting for this Messiah, this man that would come in and take away all of that captivity and redeem her people, the Israelites, Jerusalem, the Jews, redeemed them back to himself as the chosen people. She was waiting for that. And when she saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God. And she went out and told. It says she spoke of him to everyone who would listen, that at last here was the Messiah who would save his people from their sins. Folks, Jesus provides exactly what we need. He provided the things that Simeon needed. He provided the things that Anna needed, exactly what they were waiting for, God's comfort and God's forgiveness. So let me ask again this question to you. What are you waiting for this Christmas? Because whatever it is, God can give it to you. God can give it to you. Can you identify with Simeon? Maybe a little bit today. Are you hurting? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel empty, afraid? Do you feel like you're just stressed out to the max that you can go? There's nowhere else you can go. You need comfort. You need consoling. You need a fresh sense of God's presence in your life. You can find what you're looking for in Jesus. Or maybe it's Anna that you can identify with. Maybe you're looking for God's forgiveness. Maybe something in your life is making you feel guilty. Maybe even if you feel like God, you've asked God to forgive you, and even if He has, you've got that guilt in your life that you just can't seem to lay down, and it's like an anchor that you're dragging every day, and you just want to be redeemed. You just want to feel that forgiveness. You just want to feel clean. Jesus can give that to you today. Right here, and I can't think of any better time than Christmas to do that. I think there's a couple of ways that we can get there, and I'll go through these very quickly. But one of those is we need to get back. Part of what will help us be expectant at Christmas, part of what will help us is to get back amazed at what God can do. Let's get back to the point where we're amazed at what God can do. And I know you are. I know you are. There's multiple of y'all that we have talked when we've been out there cooking or when we've just been chatting about the things that God is doing here at Powhatan, and we're amazed. The fact is, when we turn it over to God, we know He's going to come through, and we shouldn't be, but we're still amazed at the power of God. Amen? It just blows my mind sometimes how God just continues to bless us. I told somebody in a letter I wrote to him the other week, I said, we're being blessed so much, I just don't know if we can contain the next one, but I'm ready for it. It's almost like that bushel basket of butter beans. Shake it down a little bit more. There's always a little bit of room. There's always a little bit of room. We need to get back to being amazed at Christmas. We don't need to get so caught up in the busyness and the stress of these holidays and driving around and trying to get from one place to the other that we forget to stop just a minute and remember that the baby in that manger grew up to die on that cross. And He did it, folks, because of His love for me and for you. That should amaze us. Ginger's got a CD in her car. I buy her CDs and she keeps them. I let her listen to my CDs and she keeps them. But there's a song that she's told me. She said, you got to learn this for me because I want to do it. And it's a song called Your Love Still Amazes Me. And it's a beautiful song by Phillips Craig and Dean. But it talks about how, you know, even now where a lot of times we take things for granted, when we get right down to it, the fact that a holy God would love a sinner like me should amaze us. Should absolutely amaze. So let's get back to being amazed at Christmas time. The other thing is we need to move. We don't need to sit still. Folks, Simeon got up and moved, went to the temple at just the right time to see this Messiah. Anna, when she saw that this was the Messiah, she went out and began to tell everybody that the Messiah was there. Folks, we don't need to sit still. We don't need to keep Jesus just to ourselves. We need to share the good news. Folks, when a baby is born in a household, you don't keep it a secret, do you? You tell everybody. Folks, we need, when something good happens, you tell everybody. You want people to rejoice with you. And so we need to tell people what Jesus has done for us. Mary even did that when the angel came to her and said, Mary, you're going to bear the Christ child. She said, be it unto me, even as you said. Even Joseph, the one that had been prepared to be Jesus' earthly father, when Joseph was shown in a dream that he didn't need to stay in the same place, Scripture says, and he did what the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary, his wife, and took him to Egypt for a while. The wise men, when they saw that star, they moved out of where they were at, trekked across many, many miles to find this baby Jesus. We need to be up and moving and telling others about Jesus. And that's the third point. We do need to share the good news. While we're waiting for His second coming, we need to share what He's already done. We need to share what Christ has already done. Folks, if Jesus has not done anything in your life, you don't have a story to tell. But I'm looking around this room this morning, and folks, Jesus has done something in my life and in yours. We've got something to tell. Mr. Bunk has told about Miss Alice's goiter, you know, how she was healed from that. I know other examples in this congregation this morning, folks, have found their way far outside of the walls of Powhatan Church because you were willing to share. We need to tell the good story, to tell the good news. And folks, as we become amazed, as we get out of our comfort zone and we move, and as we share the need, share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with others, we'll be more expectant at this Christmas season. It'll give us new meaning. Christmas is a marvelous time. And whatever you're searching for, whatever you're looking for, it can be found in Jesus Christ, because when you have Jesus, when you have the Son, you have it all. I want to end with an illustration I found many years ago, and it's just been so special. The story goes that there was a wealthy man, and he and his son had a passion for collecting art. They had works by Picasso, they had works by Van Gogh, and they had them on the wall of their family estate. And one year, war broke out, and the young man left his father to go and serve his country. And while he was serving his country, his father got a telegram and his son had been killed in action. So on Christmas morning of that year, there was a knock on his door. He walked to the door, and as he's walking, he's looking around at all these priceless artifacts, these priceless paintings on the wall that he and his son enjoyed collecting so much, and every step reminded him that this is not my son on the other side of this door. And he opened it up, and there was a soldier on the other side with a package in his hand. And he said, "Sir," he said, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one that he was rescuing when he died. Can I come in for a few minutes?" He said, "I've got something I need to show you." And the soldier told this man that he was an artist. And then he gave the old man the package. The man opened up the paper, and there was a portrait of this man's son. It wasn't nearly up to the standards of the Picassos and the Van Goghs. It was just a portrait that he had drawn, probably like Rivka drew in Sunday school this morning. By the way, let me give you a sidebar. Rivka drew me and Ginger and everybody else this morning, and Ginger said she drew you, and she said she looked at me and said, "Isn't he beautiful?" She's my favorite niece. I want you to know that. But this man had a portrait of, this soldier had drawn a portrait of this man's son, and it was a pretty good likeness of his face, and the old man just began to cry. And he thanked the soldier for that, and after he left, he moved one of his priceless works from over the fireplace, and he hung this picture, this hand-drawn picture of his son over this fireplace. That painting really became one of his most prized possessions. And a year or so later, the old man died and his estate was being auctioned off. Museums from all over the world had come knocking because they knew that he held some priceless works of art. And so there was announced that there was going to be an auction, and art collectors from all over the place came there with pocketfuls of money. And the auction began with a painting that wasn't on anybody's wish list that was there. But the auctioneer set on the easel the painting of the old man's son that the soldier had brought to him. And the auctioneer said, "Who'll open the bidding at $100? And there started to be whispers in the crowd like, "What is that? That's not worth anything. What are we doing with this? Let's get rid of this so we can get on to the good stuff." Nobody said anything first. Finally, the auctioneer said, "Look, I have to sell this one first. Now, who'll take the picture of the son? Finally, a neighbor of the old man who had just walked over there to watch the goings-on, he said, "I'll take it. I'll give you $10. That's all I've got. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Are there any other bids?" Nobody opened their mouth. He said, "Going once, going twice, gone." Somebody said, "Now we can bid on the real treasures." And the auctioneer looked at the room and he announced that the auction was over. "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of somebody's son. There's millions of dollars worth of art here. What's going on?" And the auctioneer said, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." Put things in perspective, doesn't it? Whoever takes the son gets it all. Listen, I don't know what kind of Christmas you got planned. I don't know what dinners you've got planned, how much money you're planning on spending on presents, what you're planning on getting. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you've got planned. If you don't have Jesus in your life, this is not going to be as good of a Christmas as what it could be. Period. If you have Jesus in your life, you have it all. You have it all. This morning, do you have that expectation as a little child that, you know what, this just might be the Christmas that Jesus comes back? Do you have that same expectation? If you don't, come to this altar and let's pray about it. If you're here this morning and you're saying, "Yeah, Pastor, you asked me, am I waiting? I'm waiting. I'm waiting because I've never quite got to the point where I can give my life to Christ." Let me ask you this morning then, what are you waiting for now? What are you waiting for now? There's no better time than right now. You may never be given another opportunity like this. This may be your opportunity today. Don't let it pass by. Give your heart to Him before it's too late. Because when you get the Son, you get it all. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we just thank You so much, Lord, for all that You do for us. For all that You mean to us. And Father, during this time of year, Lord, we know that things are so busy, things are so hectic. And in the middle of all of this, Lord, if we're not careful, You can get lost. I pray, Father, You would help each one of us to all the noise and the trappings of Christmas, Father, while we enjoy those, that, Father, we don't forget what the true meaning of this season is. Give us in our hearts, Lord, that expectation as a little child to look forward, Father, not just celebrating the time when You came over 2,000 years ago, but, Lord, excited about the day when You're going to return. Just as Simeon and Anna were so excited, Lord, when they saw You. Father, I can't wait till You split those eastern skies and You come and You take Your children home. Father, as we come to this time in our service where we make our commitment to You, Father, I pray everyone has made that calling and election sure. But Lord, if there are any here this morning that don't know You as their Savior, Father, touch and convict that heart right now before it's too late. And have Your way in each and every life. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.